Baruch HaMaboyim Hashem Hashem. I'd like to welcome everybody who came out in the bad weather to participate in the Harry H. Barron Ask OU program. And we have two big experts from the OU who will discuss various aspects of Pesach. And you have on your seat a Daf Hashanah number 19. In fact, in this book, anybody who's interested to get a subscription, you could put on the card that each one of you has, you could put down your address for a hard copy, or if you have email address, we can send it out by email. This comes out 10 times a year, and at the end of the year, we put it out in a booklet, and this Daf Hashanah that you have, in fact, has from 3 years ago when we were last here in Borough Park. It has a whole write-up about what happened, and the purpose of that 3 years ago was to introduce the Olam that the OU has a lot of shaychus with the Hamisha Hashgachas, the Hasidish Hashgachas. We had the Nirba Terov here at that time, for those of you who were here then. And what I personally have come to discover in the OU is that our first speaker, Rav Moshe Elfin Shlita, who's the executive rabbinic coordinator at the OU, the COO at the OU, that not only does he have a shaychus with the Hamisha Hechsherim in a very substantial way, but Yare Prus Lakoil. I was in Toronto, we had a program there. He's connected with the COR of Canada. We're planning to have one in Montreal, in Ritz Hashem. He's connected with the MK in Montreal. He just came back from a trip to Spain and Eretz Yisrael, dealing in Hechsherim in both countries. So I've come to learn that Rav Moshe Shlita is mamish in the whole welt of kashrus all over the globe. He has a shaychus to, and he's well known throughout the kashrus world by Dayanim and Paiskim Rabbanim. And besides working so hard in the OU itself in kashrus, he gives a daf yomi here in Borough Park, and also he gives a daf yomi where he has 1,800 people around the world listening to him give the shir. So, Baruch Hashem, we're very fortunate in the OU to have Rav Moshe as part of the OU Kashrus Chabura, and it's a great cover for me to introduce him. He will speak about ingredients, medications, products for Pesach of this year. Rav Moshe.
If not that I was choshet for Goimlin, I would tell you what Rabbi Yosef Grossman has done for the OU, not just for the OU, but has done for the world of kashrus, that he has spread the word of kashrus around the world, and that Baruch Hashem, our attitude is that education and teaching the Olam about kashrus is so very important. And Rabbi Yosef single-handedly, with Gevaldige Siyata D'Shmaya, has helped us accomplish and helps us continue to accomplish that goal. Because before we begin, I just would like everybody to recognize that the OU is a communal hashgacha. And not only is the OU a communal hashgacha, that's not the point what I want to make. The point I want to make is that we're a transparent organization, which means that everything we do is open. There's no secrets. Sila Kula and Sila Chumra. Whatever we do, we tell everybody to know. There are no secrets. You can be Makabal HaChumras. You cannot be Makabal HaChumras. You can be Makabal HaKulas. You cannot be Makabal HaKulas. But there are no secrets. And we feel that the consumer should be educated and the consumer should know what they're eating and what are the halachic basis of what they are eating. Baruch Hashem, I was in the Sforum store just today, and there's a flight thing of Haggadahs. Every year you come to the Sfarim store and you find new and new and more Haggadahs. And I looked in one of the Haggadahs and I saw a very interesting teher. This person who was putting together the Haggadah apparently discussed with different Gedali Yisrael, Mishnah Haitagana from Free the Gedairus, at what point in the Haggadah, he asked them, do you have the biggest Nisragish? At what point in the Haggadah are you most Nisragish? And one of the Gedolim that he quotes says, you know when I was most Nisragish in the Haggadah? When I said the words, that's Amoleinu, our hard work, Eila Habonu. When I speak about being Mamed, Yiddish Adairus, that's our orbit in this world. That to me is the biggest distraction by the Haggadah. And the truth of the matter is, it's often a Sfarna. The Sfarna says in Parshas Noach, Vayoyled Noach, says the Sfarna, O Shehischele Chiach Bnei Doiroi, for when Noach became engaged with the people of his time, he was Zoicha that he had children. How is a person Zoicha to have children if he has? If he teaches the Dairus. And the truth of the matter, I saw, everybody knows, in the Haggadah, very famous question, we say in the Haggadah, Afilu kulanu chachomim, kulanu nevoinim, kulanu yoidim is kala tera kula, mitzvah leinu nusapu b'tzias mitzrayim, kala nusapu b'tzias mitzrayim harezeh meshubach. Ba'amabu nusapu b'tzias mitzrayim harezeh meshubach. And the Farshim ask, why should somebody who's a Chacham and a Novin not be Mechuyiv in Yitzias Mitzrayim? That the person, that the Baal Haggadah tells us, Afilu Kulanu Chachamim. The answer is, that Avadah, a person who's a Chacham, a person who's a Novin, already knows the entire story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But that's not good enough. What you have to also do is give it over to the future Dairus. Not only that he knows it, but he gives it over to future generations. And as I said a moment ago, how do we accomplish that? So I saw a beautiful vort. I never saw this vort before. We all know in the Haggadah it says, Maisav Reb Elazar, Tarf Reb Akiva, Shayim Subim Bim Nebrak, Vayim Sapim Yitzis Mitzrayim Kolois Ha'alayla. They were speaking about Yitzis Mitzrayim all night long. At Shabbat Tamidayim, Vamu Higiyas Ma Krishma Shal Shachris. So, you know, we're here in Bar Park with a Chassidish Oilem, with a Haimish Oilem. The Derek Klal, if the Rebbes are sitting by Tish, the Chassidim are sitting there with them. So we were the Tamidim. So Pash Pashat, they were tired, they went to sleep, but we know that that usually isn't the case. Usually the Chassidim, the Tamidim stay with the Rebbe. So I saw a beautiful vort. Avada Talmidim with them all night long. And they listened how their rabbis taught them about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we know Shema Yisroel, Higiyas Ma'akrishma, represents that a person is supposed to be Moisim Nefesh for the Eibishter, Moisim Nefesh for Yiddishkeit. What they were taught after sitting through the Seder all night long was Higiyas Ma'akrishma Shashachris. There's a different type of Krishma. There's a Krishma of Shachris. When it's lechtig, when it's not tzoros, when you don't have to give up your life. It's lechtig. And that's where we should bring our children. And that's where we should bring our Talmidim. To Krishma Shashachris. How do you bring them there? By teaching them, but not just teaching them, but explaining to them what the halachas of Pesach and all the halachas are all about. So one of the most interesting and important issues that we in the world of kashrus face, particularly Erev Pesach, is we know that the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Nun Gimel Paskins, Eilu Dvarim Sheyotzeh Midei Chayves Matzah, with the following grains, Yikim Yotzeh Matzah, Chitim is wheat, Sarim is barley, Kusman B'shul Shoyl of Sheaf and Oats, Spelt, Rye, says the Ramah from the Maril, for minute, we take wheat.
parenthetically, it was very interesting. Just last night, I was on the radio, and somebody called and asked a question. He says that he likes spelt matzah better than the regular matzah. Can he use the spelt matzah l'chatchila? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah says the reason why we eat wheat matzah is because most people like wheat matzah better. So it's clear that if you like spelt matzah better, spelt is one of the chamisha saminim, and you can be zicha yoitz with it. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, avloi ba'oyer is now with rice matzah, shamini kidneys, other types of beans, v'gam enu da'ichimutz, because all these things, rice and beans, can't become chametz. And we know that the only thing that you could use to make matzah is something that can become chametz. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you can eat rice, you can eat beans on Yontif, just don't make matzah out of it. Says Ramah, V'yesh Oisrim, there are people that don't eat kidney of some Pesach, V'ein L'shanis, and you shouldn't be M'shanis that mimic. It's interesting that the Paiskim say, even the Svardim who eat kidneys should not make matzahs out of kidneys. Why shouldn't you make matzahs out of kidneys? Because you may get confused and think that it's the real thing. So why don't we eat kidneys on Pesach? And this is very important. There are two reasons we don't eat kidneys on Pesach. One reason is because kidneys typically grew next to grain. And therefore there's a real chash that in the kidneys will be mixed grain. The other reason we don't eat kidneys is because kidneys can be made into flour. There's rice flour, there's corn flour, and since kidneys can be made into flour, so anything that can be made into flour, our minig is not to eat that you may come to make it into flour, and you may come to get confused that you can use real flour on Pesach. Even though this is a minig, and it's a minig that's not mentioned in the Gemara, and it's interesting, if you look in the Gra and the Pri Chodesh, and the Pri Chodesh makes a very interesting observation. He says he himself ate kidneys. He was a Sfardi. But he brings a raya from a Gemara, in Masechet Pesachim, Daf Mem Amud Beis, that it could be that Tosfos learns Pshat, that already Bizman of the Gemara they held not to eat kidneys. But Pashat, it's a minute. But if you look in the Chaya Odom, in Klal Kuf Chav Zayin Sif Aleph, Rabbi Jurvel just mentioned to me earlier that the Aruch HaShulchan, I saw it last night, also uses very sharp reverta as somebody who eats kidneys. He says, don't think that just because kidneys is a minig, so you could be makel in it. He says, chalil v'chas. He says, the only nafkamina is that if you have a suffix, so we have a rule, suffix the rice l'chumra, and suffix the rabbanu l'kula. In any other way, you have to be machmer on kidneys. Azoy Zokter, and he says, if you eat kidneys, it could be over an assay, basisa kol sheyirucha, it could be over a lois assay, loisos men adoba sheyigidulucha, yomen and smile. Gefarlich shar for verter, he uses for somebody who's mishana the minig of eating kidneys on Pesach. And I want to read to you something that I saw in the Kaf HaChaim. Because as much as we'll speak tonight in Mitzvah Hashem, I think this Kaf HaChaim really summarizes what Hilchus Pesach is all about, at least the food part of Hilchus Pesach. The Kaf HaChaim here in Siman Tuf Nun Gimel Sifkot Mul Aleph says, Lo Yisuskoi Du Leka B'Chumras Pesach. In other words, you come to Shul and you have certain Chumras on Pesach, and no one else in the Shul, no one else in your neighbor has that Chumra. So their problem was he says there's no lois is going to do. Continues the Kaf HaChaim, the gam ein lochish liyuro. People are going to say this as a machmer, a tzchunginim and chumris. You don't have to worry about it. He says ki mishpacha u mishpacha minig avisayim biyadeim. Every mishpacha has its own minig. The kain, and listen to what he says. Shloy lissay eitzel acherim, that you should be careful on Pesach not to eat by someone else. The filu mi she'enim noy k'chumris k'sidim Hashem karim. Even if you're a person that's not makir all sorts of chumris all year round, I feel hachay matoyv. When it comes to Pesach, the Bimeya Pesach, Yikayim Ashre Yoshre Vesacha. At home, just eat. Pesach, eat less and stay at home. Tfei Mishayim Moshe Shalom. Pesach, we have to be careful about what we eat. And that's really the makar, the source for the minute of not eating kidneys. So many people call, and they want to know what is included in kidneys. So first I'll mention the obvious. Beans and rice are obviously included in kidneys. But there are many other items that are kidneys. Sesame seed, soybeans, sunflower seeds, lentils, millet, fennel. Then there are many different items, and we'll speak about this hopefully later, that aren't really beans, but clearly grow next to beans. And because they grow next to beans, because they grow next to grain, we have to treat them like kidneys, because we have to be choshish that there's grain mixed into them. And I want to tell you, Moriver Rabbeisai, even the Sfardim who eat kidneys on Pesach, the halacha is that they check the kidneys 3 times before they eat it to make sure that there's nothing mixed in. Green beans, peas, chickpeas, soybeans, poppy seeds are all considered kidneys. What about oils? So, soybean oil is certainly kidneys, sunflower oil, corn oil. I want to speak about 2 other types of oil that many people call about. One is cottonseed oil. There's a very big shaila, it's nishkan haintege shaila, how to treat cottonseed oil. It used to be that many people ate cottonseed oil, used cottonseed oil on Pesach. Less people use cottonseed oil now than they used to, because there are more different oils available. Walnut oil, hazelnut oil, olive oil. But I have to tell you that the truth of the matter is that there's very, very strong reason to be mako on cottonseed oil. And I'll explain to you why. Number one, there's bechlal a very big machloikas ha'achroinim. There's a very big machloikas ha'achroinim that even if you're makban on kidneys, do you have to be makban on oil? Many paiskim tzemach tzedek, and many paiskim say avada. Where oil comes from the kidneys. So whatever is kidneys, the oil has the same din as the actual kidneys. There's a tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan and Simen Yud Aleph and the Marsham and Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Pei Gimel say that there's no problem of kidneys by oil. Why? And actually, we're sitting in a shul, and on a good shul, it was a Gemara that I presume that there's an oil here that learns it Daf Yomi. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan's Raya is from a Gemara in Masechta Sukkah Daf Tezvav Amin Aleph. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah Tezvav Amin Aleph, I'm sure everybody remembers the Sugya, it's a Gemara that comes up a number of times in Masechta, discusses the Gzeiras Tikra. If you have a Breitel that's more than 4 tefachim, it's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, certainly if it's 4 tefachim wide, you can't use it for Schach. Why can't you use it for Schach? Because Chazal were choshed that you'll think that you could sit under a regular roof and it's still kosher sukkah. Zok the Gemara. That what happens if you have such a breitel and you pick it up and everybody sees you pick it up and put it down, there's no problem. Why? Because since you made a hecker, when there's a hecker, it's not the real thing, you could be maker. That's what the Rav Yitzchak Elchanan says. So here too, if you started with a kidneys, but you turned it into an oil, it's not really a problem. Azoy Paskin the Marsham. It's very interesting. There's a tshuva from the Chalkis Yaakov about this question. He was asked a question from the Jewish community in South America. What should they do with oil from kidneys? Are they allowed to use it or not? And he says that although it was the minig by Hungarian and Galiciana and Polish Rabbonim, Davni Nezer was very machmer in this shaila, not to use kidneys oil. He says he's not ready to tell them that they shouldn't use kidneys oil in Pesach. He has to see what the situation is. And if the other oil they're going to use has going to have other shailas, more serious kashrus shailas, he says maybe you'll be makel on kidney soil. We are never makel on kidney soil. You'll never see that we should give Ashgach on a product that has in it kidney soil. The question that came up is regarding cottonseed oil. Why did the question about cottonseed oil come up? The question about cottonseed oil is cottonseed kidneys? Is cottonseed kidneys? So although the Minchas Yitzchak in two tshuvas, in Chelek Gimel and Chelek Dalet, is machmer on cottonseed oil, the truth of the matter is this is a shailus and nishkan haintig a shaila, and most Gedolei Yisrael were makel on cottonseed oil. Why? Number one, there's often a Rambam. The Rambam says that Semer Geffen, the seeds of cottonseed, are not considered kidneys. He said they're considered urokas. They're considered vegetables. The entire gzeir is only on kidneys, not on vegetables. So there's no shaila. Cottonseed isn't kidneys. And therefore, if you look in the Mikroi Kodesh from Tzvi Pesach Frank, he says, Beferish, that they were makel on cottonseed oil. He says Reb Chaim Brisker was makel on cottonseed oil on Pesach. And he says, and it's very interesting, because their Eidach Reidus in Yerushalayim today, I think, doesn't allow kidneys, doesn't allow cottonseed oil. But he says that there was a meeting of the Bedeats, of the Bezdin of the Eidach Reidus in the Churvashul. If any of you were recently in the Old City, they rebuilt the Churvashul. This goes back before. In the Churvashul, there was a meeting of the Bezdin of the Eidach Reidus, and they all decided that you could give Ashgacha on cottonseed oil, and the first one to sign on it was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. There's a fascinating, short but fascinating tshuva from the Klozmer of the Rebbe on the shayla of cottonseed oil. It's kedai to look at. You see how a Gaon of Yisrael looks at a shayla. You can look it up, it's a short tshuva, one column. Chelek Beis, or Chaim Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Tzadik Vov. The Klozmer of the Rebbe was asked about cottonseed oil. And he says, certainly you can have cottonseed oil on Pesach. Why? He gives many reasons. First of all, as we just discussed, it's not clear that cottonseed is kidneys. Number two, he says, the cottonseed, that kidneys, is only a minig. And hover the loy lahoysef Allah. What we know is included in the minig of kidneys is included. What's not included in the minig of kidneys is not included. Number three, he says, he quotes a Marek Tzia. The Marek Tzia quoted his father, the Chacham Tzvi. If somebody said it today, he would probably be thrown out of shul. The Marek Tzia says that Chacham Tzvi said if he had the koyach, he would be mevatel an entire minig of kidneys. Why? He says, because what happens? I guess it was a different world. They didn't have so many different products available on Pesach. He says, if you're not going to eat kidneys, you're going to end up eating, or you're going to end up eating more matzah. And we know the weaker you have the biggest shayrus, and where can you end up with a shayla of a deraisa? By matzah. So he says, isn't it better to eat kidneys than matzah? So Vadda, he says, the Klozmer of the Rebbe, that tshuva, I'm not changing, and I'm not saying that you should be allowed to eat kidneys on Pesach, but certainly we can't make it more than it is. So given the fact that oil is b'chlal shayla, and cottonseed is not necessarily kidneys, and given that he says the svar of Havad Loi Lahoysif on the minig, he says, you certainly can use cottonseed oil on Pesach. Just to go back to some of the items, that may be kidneys. Another oil, and maybe we'll have a chance to speak about this later, which there's no problem, it's olive oil and grapeseed oil. Grapeseed oil is the oil that you get out of the seed of a grape. And we'll speak about that perhaps later. If you go home and you look at the different foods that you have in your pantry, you'll discover that many of the foods have in them corn syrup or corn sweetener. And what happens is, and even up to nowadays, as much as we tell people not to do this, people think that they can look at a product and they can look at the ingredient panel and they can become paiskim and know by looking at the ingredient panel everything that there is to know about the food. There's nothing worse than you could say about that. Why? because corn syrup or corn sweetener, even though apparently they're starting with corn, so there's 2 points I'd like to tell you. Number one, even if they are truly starting with corn, how is the corn converted from being corn into corn syrup or to corn sweetener? It's done with an enzyme. Whenever I speak publicly about enzymes, I use our own bodies as an example. We all eat food, and we know that the food as it goes into our body is digested. What causes the food that we eat to become digested? So all of us have in our body enzymes. Enzymes have the ability to convert food. Similarly, you can convert an ingredient, you can convert a corn into corn syrup or to corn sweetener with enzymes. The enzymes can become its gum. But there's one more point I'd like to make. And this is what makes the world of kashrus so fascinating. Because what happens in the entire world affects kashrus in a very serious way. We in the United States have, Baruch Hashem, an abundance of corn. And there was years that that didn't happen. You followed what was going on with ethanol. But even when we have an abundance of corn, in Europe, they don't have an abundance of corn. In Europe, they have a lot of wheat. And you can make wheat into the same type of sweetener that you could make corn. And people are going to, and even though it says on the ingredient, corn syrup, corn sweetener, it really might come from wheat. Chametz gam. Similarly, the same shaila comes up with two other very commonly used ingredients. Citric acid and ascorbic acid. Again, if you look at the food that you have in your pantry, you'll see that there's a lot of citric acid, there's a lot of ascorbic acid. Citric acid is not made from lemons. Citric acid is not made from oranges. What you do is you take a starch. The starch could come from sugar, which is fine. Unlikely to come from sugar, because sugar is very expensive. So you're going to use corn or wheat, and through putting a bacteria into it, you'll end up with citric acid. So you can manage to have, again, kidneys or chametz gam. The same thing goes for ascorbic acid. And very interestingly, as I said a moment ago, given that Europe has an abundance, there's two things that are happening in the world. One is that Europe has an abundance of wheat, and they're turning that wheat into citric acid, they're turning that wheat into ascorbic acid, and they're selling it subsidized by the French government. And maybe cheaper than our corn, our citric acid and ascorbic acid, which is only kidneys. And therefore, it may be chametz gamer, particularly if the food comes from China, with so much is coming from China, they're always looking for metzi in China. Number two, if you follow what's going on in the world, there's something known as GMO. GMO means genetically modified foods. And the world, many people are being more and more careful not to eat genetically modified foods. In America, the government does not care about genetically modified foods yet. In Europe, there are very strict regulations about genetically modified foods. So if you have a company, particularly companies that are making foods that they're selling as healthy, you're going to have an issue of genetically modified foods. And therefore, many companies are buying the citric acid, or particularly the ascorbic acid, the sorbitols, from Europe, and it could be chametz gam. So when I was discussing the shaila with the next speaker you have discussed to have here tonight, Rabbi Jorvel, I would probably consider him the greatest expert in the world of kashrus and ingredients today. So when I was discussing with Rabbi Jorvel my presentation tonight, so I asked Rabbi Jorvel, if citric acid could be chametz, and ascorbic acid could be chametz, and sorbitol could be chametz, so I asked Rabbi Jorvel, we know, and I presume it's the minig of most of the people who are sitting here, that we don't sell chametz gomer. So what happens if you have at home a food that has in it citric acid, or you have at home food that has in it ascorbic acid? Are you allowed to sell it with the chametz, or do you have to throw it out? So Rabbi Jorvel told me, Rabbi Jorvel had a very stark shaitis with Rabbi Yankel Blau. Rabbi Yankel Blau, those that may not know, was a member of the Bedat, of the Eidech Redes. He was also the head of the Vada Kashrus of the Eidah Haredes. Rabbi Jurvel told me that he discussed the Shiloh with Rabbi Blau, and Rabbi Blau told him you could be Mekel. He said, since it's a Suffolk, and you're selling it, you're not keeping it, so Rabbi Blau told him you could be Mekel. But you should know that you have a real Shiloh of Chometz. And why do I want to say this? Because many people call, and they have to serve kidneys to different members of their family, whether it's to infants, all infant formula. Even if you look at the OU Pesach directory, pages 92 and 93, where all the infant formulas or adult nutritionals are listed, they're all kidneys. Meir Verabai said they're all kidneys. And it's interesting, I wanted to get a little more into this, I don't think I'm going to have the time. There's already a tshuva in the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik has a tshuva. What happens if you have somebody at home that has to have food that's kidneys? What should you do? Says the Maram Shik, you have to have separate kalim. You have to have separate kalim for them. That means if you have a baby at home and you're serving him baby formula, infant formula, you have to know that even though it's listed in the OU book or in the other books, it's mamish kidneys. And since it's mamish kidneys, we're makin on kidneys as we're learning, you should keep the bottle separate, you should wash it perhaps in the bathroom, and you should have separate kalim where you warm it up. Moreover, there are a lot of foods that people think are just kidneys, but are chametz gomer. Two examples, two very common examples. Rice Krispies and cornflakes. You look in the ingredients in Rice Krispies and in cornflakes, both of them have in them malt. Malt could be chametz gomer from barley. So if you're not to sell chametz gomer, you can't sell Rice Krispies or cornflake crumbs. You should get rid of it before Pesach. Another very commonly asked question, paper plates. Many people call us and ask, what is the status of paper goods for Pesach? So there's a difference between paper plates. There's really three different products that we could talk about. There are paper plates, and yes, because I just saw in a paper from Eretz Yisrael last night that this is, you know, as I was walking here tonight, I met somebody who said, so what's the tumul? What's the tumul of this year Pesach? So I said, tumuls don't begin 2 weeks before Pesach. Because 2 weeks before Pesach, we could still deal with the tumul. Tumuls begin Erev Pesach. But what's the tumul? So I saw that in Eretz Yisrael, the tumul that they're trying to create is around paper plates. There's no problem with paper plates. Because even if they have kidneys, so the kidneys could be an ingredient in the paper plate or in the paper towel, but it's completely pogum. There's no shayla, even on chometz, if it's pogum. With machmer, if you eat chometz, that's pogum. But otherwise, if you're not eating it, there is no shayla. Where can there be a shayla? Two places there can be a shayla. One is on the paper towels. The first and the last sheet have glue on them, and the glue could be chometz stick, so you shouldn't use the first and the last sheet. Instam shouldn't use it, you probably don't want glue in your food. And the other place is when you have different rolls of paper. Particularly, a lot of women, a lot of people, when they bake, they use parchment paper or they use quill-on quoted paper. And that's not part of the paper. That's a coating on top of the paper. And there you have to be careful that it should have hashgacha. For all year round, it has to have hashgacha. And certainly for Pesach, it has to have hashgacha that it's not chametz, it's not kidneys, nor that it's not a non-kosher oil. I also want to mention a few different other items that could have a shiloh of kidneys or could have a different shilohs as well. The number one question we get at the OU before Pesach, we keep track of these questions, is that many people shop in Costco. And Costco sells a brand of frozen salmon called Kirkland frozen salmon. It's supposed to be very good. It's also supposed to be very cheap. And people call and they want to know about Kirkland salmon. What is the, how long can they be used even though it doesn't have an OUP? What is the question? Because we've discovered that at times when they freeze the fish They'll put a coating, they'll put a glaze on the fish. Most of the time, much more than most of the time, Aruba de Aruba is just ice water. But we found that by Alaskan wild salmon, so number one, you're not getting Alaskan wild salmon when you're buying Kirkland salmon, because Alaskan wild salmon is very expensive. You're not getting Matsias on Alaskan wild salmon. But when you're getting Alaskan wild salmon, they have been discovered that they could put on a glaze of citric acid. And we just discussed a moment ago that citric acid could be kidneys, certainly be kidneys, it could even be chametz. The truth of the matter is, what you should do is, you could still buy it, but wash it off. Try to buy it before Pesach and wash it off, and you wouldn't have a shayla. Another product, which for years we told people they could use on Pesach, and now we've discovered it could be adulterated with all sorts of shaylas, and that is honey. We used to say that pure honey was fine for Pesach. We've discovered that pure honey, especially comes from China, comes from Turkey, could be adulterated. They could put into it all sorts of sweeteners, corn syrup, and it could be a shayla of kidneys. I would recommend that you only buy honey with a reliable hashgacha. Another area where people should be machmer. I was in Eretz Yisrael, as Rabbi Grossman mentioned, a couple of weeks ago. And we were, during our trip to Eretz Yisrael, one of the places we visited was a winery in Yerushalayim, right? So actually right outside Yerushalayim, in a place called Atarot. It's not such a safe place to be. You only tell your wife you were there after you leave. So we were meeting this company, and they told us an incredible statistic. They told us that currently in Eretz Yisrael, there are 150 wineries. And all the wineries in Eretz Yisrael are trying to export the wine, because they all want the dollars. Giving hashgacha to wine, to grape juice, is probably one of, if not the, I can't say the because there's always meat, but it's one of the hardest areas of hashgacha in the world. In Eretz Yisrael, although on one hand it's easier, because when you give hashgacha in a winery, you can have only frum people working there, and there are many more frum people available to work in Eretz Yisrael than in America, but there are so many different shaylas of trumas and maisris, and next year is a Shemitah year, so it's going to come with even more shaylas. And there's a problem, but I have to tell you, even though Shemitah is next year, we get calls, because we give hashgacha to many wineries in Eretz Yisrael, and in the Shemitah year, we don't give hashgacha. Because how can you give hashgacha on the Shemitah year? So that wine doesn't have the OU. It's fine. What happens is, the company's still making wine. They're just making wine without reliable hashgacha. And they're sending that wine to America, and they're giving it away for a very good price. Because it's Shemitah wine. It's Hetter Mechira wine. You have to look that even if you know that this bottle of wine is from a company that usually has a reliable hashgacha, wine could be years old, that it should have a reliable hashgacha on the bottle that you're buying. So there's problems with Trumas HaMaisris, Orla. It was interesting how complicated this could be. It's interesting how complicated this could be because one of the places, the other places that we visited was a farm in a moshav called Gamzu. It's an interesting moshav. It's a Poali Aguda moshav. All the people that live there now are Sfardim that speak Yiddish. Because the original people who started that moshav were all Hungarian Yidden. All the Malamdim there were Hungarian Yidden from Europe. And they taught the Sfardim to speak a Heimish Yiddish. So we went there on the farm and they showed us their farm where they grow grapes. And what they do sometimes is that they'll take a vine that's 1 or 2 years old and replant it. And many Paiskim hold that the clock starts again for Hilchas Arla. So you could have 5-6 years before you could have the wine. It could be there by then, Shemitah. There's very serious shailas when you get wine from Eretz Yisrael, and you have to be careful that it has a reliable hashgacha. I want to speak about two more issues, one regarding kidneys and one in general. Regarding kidneys, there's a very famous Nishmas Adam that many people here don't know and don't want to know. The Nishmas Adam says that potatoes are included in the minig of kidneys. He says, why not? He says, you can make potatoes into flour. Every one of us knows that you make potatoes into flour. We all have potato starch at home. What's potato starch? A flour. Says the Nishmas Adam that there's a gzeir of kidneys even on potato starch. There's a tshuva from the Arugas Abaisim. The Arugas Abaisim says, makes a very interesting distinction. He says there's a difference between potato starch that's made at home versus potato starch that you buy from a factory. If you make it at home, so it's nicker that it's not the regular flour. If you buy it from the store, you shouldn't buy it. And in fact, somebody has told me today that he attempted to make potato starch at home. He used, I don't know how many pounds of potatoes to make it and figure out how to make it, the chlal, and he ended up with a little can of potato starch. The Divrei Malkiel is Makel, because he disagrees with the Nishmas Adam, and he says that potato starch is different than kidneys for two reasons. He says the way you normally make flour is that you grind the grain. Potato starch is not made by grinding the flour. You dry the potato. So you can't compare potato starch to flour. He also says the potatoes are not a midi the mitkin, and kidneys is a midi the mitkin. The Divrei Chaim, the reason the Welt eats potatoes on Pesach is because of Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim held that potatoes have no shiloh. Why do potatoes not have a shiloh? He says because kidneys, only what was included in the original minig, we spoke about that earlier, is osur. What's not in the original minig is not osur, and that's why the Tver Shloima, today was the Tver Shloima's Yortzat, says the Divrei Chaim saved Klal Yisrael, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to eat potatoes on Pesach. What would be left to eat? So this is the question regarding potatoes. But it's a much more, the question came up at the OU, at the other Hashgachas over the last couple of years, regarding a new food. There's a food called quinoa. I don't know how many people here ate quinoa, but quinoa is very similar to rice. And the question is, should quinoa be treated like kidneys? Should quinoa be treated like kidneys? And I discovered, why is this such an important shaila? So, you know, probably many people here that never ate quinoa. Our fathers and grandfathers certainly lived without ever eating quinoa, and they, Baruch Hashem, had good lives without the quinoa. The quinoa is not so important. There's a very important food that people nowadays can't live without. It's called sushi. And you can't make sushi on Pesach because you don't have rice. So they discovered that they'll substitute the rice with quinoa. So the question is, can you use quinoa on Pesach or not? So it was a very big discussion. So we sent one of our mashgichim to Bolivia and Peru, which is where the quinoa grows. And he discovered that the quinoa grows on the top of the mountain, and the grain grows at the bottom of the mountain. So the chash that the quinoa is next to the grain, that we discussed at the beginning of our shiur, that grain can get mixed in, is not there, because they grow in two different parts of the mountain. Furthermore, you can't make a cake or bread out of quinoa. It has no gluten. So the chash that it's going to be similar to the flour that you can make something out of also doesn't exist. And moreover, we have the heter of the Divrei Chaim. There certainly wasn't any quinoa in the time of the Ramah when this minig was established. And that's why the OU decided that you could use quinoa. Where is the shiloh? The shiloh is not on the quinoa where it grows. The shiloh is on the packing of the quinoa. Because the quinoa is packed in the same factories where they pack chametz, wheat, and barley. And therefore, you have to have hashgacha on the packing. And therefore, we gave hashgacha this year on OUP quinoa. But you can only use the quinoa that has a kosher Pesach hashgacha. I want to speak about one more thing. As I said a minute ago, it has nothing to do with kidneys. It has really nothing to do with the OU. And it has nothing to do with tonight's presentation. But, you know, if you get the mic, you take advantage. So I said a moment ago that somebody asked me, so what is this year's tumah? And I said, we don't have a tumah yet because it's not Erev Pesach. This year there was a tumah Erev Pesach. The tumah wasn't here in Borough Park. The tumah was in Los Angeles. But we at the OU, personally, have been very involved since then with the kashrus. Where there was a butcher shop in Los Angeles, Erev Pesach, when else, that was discovered, that was selling meat. Hopefully, it was certainly not the meat they were supposed to sell. Hopefully it was only kosher, not glatt. It might have been treif. My Rav Rabbeisai, how did this happen? The reason it happened was because a person who wasn't supposed to have a hashgacha, a person who wasn't a frumi, a person who was caught previously cheating, was given a hashgacha. And you know what? Mashgichim, as good as they are, only have one set of eyes. And if somebody wants to cheat, they can always beat the system. And that's why the Yidden in California last year and since then have really, I don't want to go into it, maybe we'll have another time to talk about that. Rabbi Grossman has put me on the road in a number of different places to discuss the lessons learned. It's not tonight's subject. It's not a Pesach issue. But it's a kashrus issue that every one of us has to take to heart. Every one of us buys food. Every one of us buys meat. Every one of us buys different products that are very sensitive when it comes to kashrus. You have to know by whom you're buying. You have to know what kind of hashgacha that place has. You have to know if the place has a hashgacha to meet this that has a mashgiach. My Rebbe Rabbeisai, if you go to a store and every time you want something, you want a cut of meat, whatever you want he has, know that you're asking for tzoros. You know why? Because every animal only has one tongue. And how does a store have as much tongue as you ever need? And how does a store have as much roast and brisket as you need? If you see that, you have a question. And even though Baruch Hashem, I together with you live here in Borough Park, a community of Yireim Vishleimim. A community of Yireim Vishleimim, that doesn't mean that we don't have to watch what we eat. And it doesn't mean that we don't have to be careful where we're shopping, what we're shopping, and what kind of hashgachas we're relying on. And just because the store is owned by a Haimashi'i, just because there's a Haimashi'i behind the counter, does not mean that you should feel comfortable in buying that food. We have to take that, might be one of the lessons of Pesach. In conclusion, you know, the minig is that we pour the fifth kais by the Seder, and the fifth kais is connected the Lashon of Nasati Oisem Lochem Arosha Ani Hashem. But the fifth kais we don't drink. The four kaises we drink, the fifth kais we don't drink. Why don't we drink it? And there's another question. The Pasuk is a shtickle stira. It says Nosati and it says Merosha. Nosati means a matana. Merosha means a Yerusha. So perhaps the first four kaises that represent the Geula from Mitzrayim, the first four kaises that represent the Geula from Mitzrayim happened. And we drink the Dal kaises. The fifth kais is regarding the Nosati Oisem Lochem Merosha. We still have a job. We have a job of teaching our children. We have a job of giving over the Messiah. We have a job of giving over the Minhagim. Tonight we spoke about one of the Minhagim of Kitnius, our children. We didn't finish that job. We can't drink that kais yet. But we also have to remember that it has to become a Yerusha. But how do we make it into Yerusha? For Nosati, as matana, with a geshmak, with an understanding. And if we do that, we will tackle the zayich of the Torah Tzivalon and Moshe and Rosh HaKilos Yaakov.
One question that came in was concerning Coca-Cola. I don't think this is not negated to the Eretz Yisrael one, which today I was in a store smaller than the 64 ounce. They charged $3.79 in Muncie, New York. I couldn't believe it. I didn't buy it. But Coca-Cola...
He's going to ask me for a raise tomorrow. Don't buy it.
Coca-Cola under the OU, the person wanted to know, are there any coolas in the USA or international, a whole year Pesach, that the OU is signed with?
Okay, so Coca-Cola a whole year, all Coca-Cola products that have the OU a whole year, there are absolutely no coolas involved in the certification. It's a very interesting hashgacha that I can't share with you, because anybody who knows anything about Coca-Cola knows that Coca-Cola's number one issue is confidentiality. So to know even where Coca-Cola is made is a secret. To go in there is an issue. So it's a very interesting way we give hashgacha, but I want you to know that we know every ingredient in Coca-Cola. And there's no coolness involved in the giving the hashgacha of Coca-Cola or any of the Coke paddocks, which are numerous all year round. As far as Pesach is concerned, the regular Coca-Cola is 100% lumahadin. The Diet Coke, I didn't get to it in my presentation because I wanted Rabbi Gerval still to speak to me and I want him to have some time, involves kidney and ishtana. Most Paiskim, and if you followed some of what we said tonight, kidneys is a mini. If the Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was making on oil, Nishtana is even a bigger heter. There's a Mishnah Brura, I could just give you some Marim Mekoymus. A Mishnah Brura, it's Simen Resh Tezayin, Sif Cotton, Tezayin, a Shalz Achulis Chsam Seifer, in Yerideya Simen Kuf Chof Aleph, that he speaks about grapeseed oil. There's a tshuva in the Cheltis Yaakov, from the Cheltis Yaakov actually to Aaron Leib Steinman about Nishtana on also, and that's what we rely for Diet Coke.
Question came in, are stricter regulations imposed by the OU on Pesach products, or are they essentially the same as all year?
All OUP products, any product that has on it the mark OUP, no matter what, is made by Hashgacha Tamidus. So although during the year, many OU products are certified with a Yotze V'Nichnas, not all obviously, meat and grapefruit for Shteitzel Chaznat, etc. But on Pesach, anything that has an OUP has on it Yotze V'Nichnas. So as I said last night on the radio, I got a number of calls about it today, the Moshel tuna fish. The OU is not mapped to have a Mashgiach Tamidi by the production of tuna fish that we give Hashgacha to, but any OUP tuna fish is made with a Mashgiach Tamidi.
Shkoyach Rav Moshe.